Hallelujah.
So Marvin's going to share the word, and his part of the symptoms of struggle at the moment is a very weak voice. And as you know, if you've known Marvin for a long time, that's quite something, because he used to have a really booming, loud voice, and you'd hear him praying down the street. So this morning, just bear with him. Please don't complain if you can't hear. Press in a little bit or come to the front row. Marvin's going to try and be mic'd as much as possible, but he's not whispering to trick you.
Praise the Lord. I remember I moved in with some friends, Laura and Reynold. They asked me for dinner, and she took a bunch of towels, wrapped them around me, and poured the biggest bottle of oil that I've ever seen in my life, you know, and then she washed my feet. And I felt there was something very prophetic about that. And I know that God's not done with me yet. I'm not a healer. And to tell you the truth, no man is a healer, even Benny Hinn. But a true healer is Jesus the Messiah. He has given us the power of attorney. The Bible is the only book for our lives, for all times. I need every eye open and looking straight at me. I need every heart open to the word that I will bring forth today. The Bible is a book of God concerning how to walk with God. The Bible is a book of God concerning how to receive faith. The Bible is a book of God concerning how to stop Satan. The Bible is a book of God concerning how to have the image of Messiah formed in us. The Word of God changes you, and it changes me from the inside out. And it gives you any faith and miracles possible. So the Word of God changes you. It changes me from the inside out. It gives you and me faith and miracles to the possible, miracles to be possible. You know, someone said to me, Marvin, you don't look healed. And I said, I've been had hands prayed on me multitudes of times. The prayer of faith said that I am healed. So I stand upon His word. Now, but I don't look healed. Well, you don't look saved either. Today, physical diseases are going to disappear. Tumors are going to evaporate. Today, gross and perilous are going to leave our bodies. Is this some form of emotional form of suggestion? Am I trying to arouse your senses and somehow make you think that by stimulating you and building you up into a frenzy with that, there can be miracles? The answer is no. I will share today the healing word of God today, because beside you is seated someone who wants to hear and know and understand the supernatural power of God, and I do too. You know, there was a story many years ago of this king. He had every day he used to go and play his organ throughout the castle. He would hear this beautiful music resounding. One day he was trying to play the organ, it wouldn't work. They sent people from all over to try to fix it. No one could fix it. So one day this man came to the back of the castle, real grubby looking, and he said, I can fix your organ. He said, how could you fix the organ? He said, I'm the one that built it. You see, Jesus built us. He knows how to fix us. He knows how to fix us. You know, I know a little Greek and I know a little Hebrew, a little Greek guy named Aristotle and a little Hebrew guy named Moshe. That was a joke. A spiritual heart maketh good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Laughter is medicine. There's a story of a millionaire doctor. A millionaire, and the doctor told him that he had a few months to live. No hope, he was going to die. He locked himself into a room and brought in every comedy you could see for months and got healed. When I read the Old Covenant, I see many beautiful stories of God's loving kindness towards his people. I see how a God of love reaches out towards his people. I see a God who reaches out and heals his people of their diseases. As we go through this study, open up your spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. Before we talk about healing in the Bible, I want to ask you a very important question. How did sickness enter into the world? Our answer is found in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. The physical death and all that produces are the direct result of sin. I said the physical death and all that it produces are the direct result of sin. How did man come to sin? Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eateth, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. Know that in the day you shall eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to the desire to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together around and made aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord spoke, called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of a tree where I commanded thee that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field, upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. In thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be that your husband, he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall eat all the days of thy life. As we read, we will find that it was Satan who caused our first parents to disobey. Satan is the real originator of sin, sickness, and disease. Many deny this and say that God himself is the real author of sickness and death, because he said, Genesis 3:3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Who caused Adam and Eve to disobey God's command and to bring sin, sickness, and death into the world? Satan. And Satan, not God, is the real author of sin, sickness and disease. This is explained when Messiah Yeshua said to the man who had cured the pool of Bethesda in John 5:14. After Yeshua findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, you're made healed. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The sickness had come as a result of sin. Mark 2:2-11. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, than you say, arise and take thy bed and walk. For that you may know the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take thy bed and go. Go to into your house. The people would not believe Yeshua had power to forgive this man's sins. So he said to them, in effect, I will now prove to you that I have power to forgive sins by curing this palsy, which is of the consequence of sin. When you see that I can cure or take away this sin, produce disease, then you know for certainty that I also can take away sin itself. Holler if you hear me. I'll say it again. When you see that I can cure or take away this sin, produce disease, then you will know for certainty that I also can take away sin for itself. I'm absolutely sure that Satan is the author of sickness as well as sin, because Messiah also uses the same harsh word, epitameo, to rebuke sickness. Satan's work is he has used evils, as he used to rebuke evil spirits. Epitameo means in Greek to censure, admonish, forbid, charge, rebuke. Luke 4:39, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever and left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Yeshua used the same harsh words to rebuke all sicknesses as he used to rebuke all evil spirits, because of all sickness is caused by Satan. This is the only explanation. Every sickness, disease, and deformity which Yeshua cured while on earth was a result of sin, Satan's work. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed under the power of the devil, for God was with him. All that Yeshua cured while on earth were oppressed of the devil. The word oppressed in Greek is katadunos. It is the present participle, the passive accusative plural of the word katadunosteo. This comes from kata, down under, and I'm not talking about Australia. And dunesto, I hold power or lordship. And this word, katadunosteos, in Acts 10:38 means that those under dominion, lordship of Satan. Every sickness, disease, and deformity Yeshua cured while on earth was a result of Satan's work. It is the same today. Not only is Satan the originator of sickness, but he is a proper group, the propagator of it. The Bible enforces us that he seeks special evil spirits whose chief business is to make people sick. Luke 13:11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. It was bowed together, could no wise lift up herself. Luke 13:16, and not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, oh, these 18 years be loose from this bond on this Sabbath day. The scripture tells us that this was Satan's work. Notice the words which had spoken, spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity is asthenia. It's the commonest word in the Greek language for sickness. Asthenia is in the Greek means feebleness of body or mind, frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness, and weakness. This poor woman had been dominated for 18 years by an evil spirit, and here it is called the spirit of sickness. Satan really had spirits of sickness, whose one great work in this world is to propagate sickness and disease. Mark 9:25, when Yeshua saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Here we find that Satan also has deaf and dumb spirits. Mark 1:23, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit, an unwashed, dirty, foul spirit. Satan also has spirits who are specialists in polluting men's minds, imaginations, and making them immoral. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as he went into prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Spirit of divination, this was an evil spirit which she gave her the ability to foretell things. Satan has all kinds of evil spirits. Thousands of those evil spirits belong to the group designated as spirits of sickness. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brothers and sisters, we are at war. Satan is not only the originator of sickness, disease, but he is the propagator of the same by means of these many evil spirits who obey every command. Since Satan is not only the originator of sickness, disease, but he is the propagator of the same means of these many evil spirits who obey his every command. In the Old Testament times, God was man's healer. Exodus 15:26, he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, I'll give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought up from the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalms 103:3, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all of thy diseases. God is still looking, God is still forgiving sins, and he's still healing diseases, or else he's not the same God he used to be. I said, God is still forgiving sins, and he's still healing diseases, or else he's not the same God he used to be. The word for disease in Psalm 103 in the Septuagint is nosos. This word is used 9 times in Septuagint and 12 times in the New Testament. It's always referred as physical disease. The word for health in Psalms 103 in the Septuagint is iome. And in the Greek, iome means to cure, to heal, to make whole. The word is used 28 times in the New Testament, always physical healing. The expression who redeems in the Septuagint reads Talmud Trumano, the one constantly redeeming. It is the present participle of the middle of the truth. The use of the present participle here teaches the truth that God is now constantly employed in keeping our bodies, keeping our hearts beating with something that we have nothing what to do with whatsoever. We know redemption is going on now. It does not refer to the resurrection, because in the substitution it literally reads, the one redeeming that life from destruction, from decay, the one crowning thee with mercy and compassion, one satisfying your heart with good deeds, with good things, praise the Lord. The use of this present participle here in the Greek brings out the thought that God is right now constantly doing all these things mentioned. The redemption spoken of, therefore, in Psalms 103:3 has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of the future. It tells us something that the Lord is doing now on our behalf. Psalms 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among their tribes. Why? Because God was their healer. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He, God, sent his word and healed them. He healed me. He is Yeshua, the word. He, God, sent forth his word and healed them and healed me. He is Yeshua, the Word. In New Testament times, God was man's healer because Yeshua was God in the flesh. Matthew 9:35, then Yeshua went about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every disease among the people. Yeshua preached and healed publicly. And now, Mark 6:12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. They cast so many demons anointed with oil. Many that were sick and healed them. Yeshua gave power to the disciples to heal the sick. These disciples, like the Lord, also held great preaching, healing campaigns. Has God changed, or is he the very same God today that he was in the Old Testament and New Testament signs? Malachi 3:6, where I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Yeshua, the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Greek word, the Greek expression is haotos. It means the very same identical person in every respect. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Greek word here for variableness is paralege, fickleness. James declares that God does not even change slightly. God is not fickle. You can trust him. God used to be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Tsekenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. God is still the above. Holler if you hear me. And just making sure you're out there. He's still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. As I quoted you a minute ago in James 1:17, declares that with him there's no variableness. He doesn't even change slightly. Hebrews 13:8 expresses Jesus is the same God. Since God in Jesus is just the same today as the past, we can ought to expect him to have the same healing power today. Since God in Jesus is the same today as in the past, we ought to expect him to have the same healing power today. All believers should expect God to heal their bodies today because Yeshua died for our sins as well as our sins. All believers should expect God to heal their bodies today because Jesus died for our sicknesses as well as our sins. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Word for grief in the Hebrew is chole, sickness and sorrows in Hebrew, is makab, pains. Chole, sickness, is from the Hebrew word chala, to be weak, sick, or afflicted. Deuteronomy 7:14, and the Lord will take away from all sicknesses, put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but lay them upon them that hate thee. Word chole is translated in sickness in Deuteronomy 28:6, 28:61, and other scriptures. Makab is translated pain in Job 33:19. He has chosen also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. Jeremiah 51:8, Babylon has been sudden and fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if it be so she may be healed. Isaiah 53:4, should read, surely he, Messiah, has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Let's take a look at the Hebrew, at the verb in Isaiah, born, nasa, and carry, sabal. The Hebrew word nasa means to bear in the sense of suffering, punishment for something. Leviticus 5:1, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and he is a witness, whether it's seen or known of it. If he did not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Isaiah 53:12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he has numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of the many, and made intercession of the transgressors. Here we have the true meaning of Nessa set forth. He, Messiah Yeshua, was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare Nasa, the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. But how did Jesus bear our sins? Vicariously, their substitute. Vicariously means taking place that another person endured, suffered, or performed by one another in place of one another. This is the same word that's used in Isaiah 53:4. Surely he, Messiah, has borne us our sicknesses. Hebrew, the verb nasa in Isaiah 53:12 teaches us that Jesus bore our sins vicariously. We must admit that this is a verb, nasa. Isaiah 53:4 teaches us that he, Messiah, bore sicknesses vicariously. The same verb is used bearing our sins in Isaiah 53:12 and Isaiah 53:4, bearing our sicknesses. The clear teaching of Messiah Yeshua bore our sicknesses just the very same way that he bore our sins. There can be no other conclusion. And carried sabal our pains. The verb sabal, carried, also means to bear something as a penalty or chastisement. Lamentations 5:7, our fathers have sinned and are not. And we have borne Sabaoth their iniquities. Isaiah 53:11, he, Messiah, shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by the knowledge that he shall. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear Sabaoth their iniquities. How did Jesus bear our iniquities? Vicariously as a substitute. And he bore or carried our pains in the very same way. Isaiah 53:4, surely has borne nasa our sicknesses and carried sabal our pains. When you remember the word in Isaiah 53:4, griefs and sorrows, makab, literally means sickness and pains. And when you remember that the very same verb in Isaiah 53:4, bore nasa and carry sabal, the same two verbs used in Isaiah 53:12 and Isaiah 53:11 to express the tremendous fact that Messiah vicariously bore our sins and iniquities. How can you escape the logical conclusion that Messiah died for our sicknesses? And this is the very same way that he has died for our pains. There's no other conclusion. Hallelujah. All that I have said so far may have sound complicated, maybe even confusing. God wants to make healing easy. Don't let anyone tell you that the contents of this book, the Bible, are by any means a form of knowledge that is limited to an exclusively intellectuals and theologians. This book is a book for the common man. He said this book is a book for the common man. It only takes a genius to make it boring. Healing is for you. Holler if you hear me. God never intended divine healing and miracles to be a mystery and a sham and a circus and a lie that we have made it to be. It's time to take divine healing out of the hands of the sham entertainers and hucksters. Let the people of God understand. I'm not here today debating the issue whether or not you can be healed. I'm here today to see if there's a fact, a cry in the depths of the deepest part of God to demonstrate another dimension of healing, which is a miracle. Luke 4:39, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. The word healing here is an act of healing, which requires no time of recuperation. One thing you have to understand, many of you think that your healing is going to come by some very positive attitude that you achieve. There is a presence of Yeshua in this room, spiritual radiation, and it radiates the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. Everybody today is radiation conscious. I want to be conscious of the radiation of Yeshua. I want to be conscious of the radiation of Yeshua, and I ask God that your radiation would be here. Would not be afraid of your radiation. The thing that you have to understand is that in the healing that takes place in you today does not take place in your mind. Healing that takes place in you today is not by vain repetition. The healing that takes place in you today is not having a positive attitude of making promises to God. It's exposure to Yeshua. So it's exposure to Yeshua. Everyone forgets Yeshua. They come to a meeting and consider the evangelist. They come to a meeting and consider the pastor or elder of the music. They forget the power is in Yeshua himself. Yeshua could heal the heart of a tax collector. Yeshua could heal the soul of Tarsus into a Paul. Yeshua looked through the eyes of the Roman centurion who had nothing but murder in his eyes and made him a kitten for him. You did not come here to hear me. This meaning is not on my shoulders. The Bible says the government will be upon his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. Yeshua wants to make healing easy. He does not want to make it hard. Closing, I want to talk about miracles. Here is a threefold profile of a miracle. Number one, it does not need recuperation. If there's a lack of ability, if it's been a childhood birth defect or example, God will bring you up to date and make you as you've never been sick, even to the point of placing back the ability that was lost. Number three, miracles begin by a profound awareness of what you haven't got. Joel 2:25, I'll restore to those the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm and the great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. That which the cankerworm has eaten, I will restore. When you look at Hebrews text, this is what you get. It doesn't say the leaf that the cankerworm ate. It says the fruit that he ate, and that God would replace it and give you another leaf. This means that the leaf that was eaten and digested went out of the worm is by a byproduct, meaning this. I'll go back and grab what the devil turned into refuge, regenerate it, and reverse the process so that it will be back in the original state. Praise the Lord. Now, Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms of them and go into the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to the temple, ask for alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him, as John said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of him. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have are given to thee in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And the others rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. And he leaping up and stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was the man which said for the alms at the beautiful gate, the temple, and they were filled with wonderment and amazement, which would happen unto him. Yes, a lame man which was healed, held Peter and John. All the people ran toward and the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered to the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Yeshua, who we have delivered and denied him the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye deny the Holy One and the just desired a murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Peace whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and in his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, the faith which is by him has given him perfect soundness in your presence of all of you. You are not in sickness because you're in sin. Do not come to God today supposing that your disobedience, lack of yours, is the reason why Yeshua is not healing your body. We have to understand that God has something for Peter. Peter has something for that crippled man. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have are given to thee in the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Here's the key. Let's look back in the morning that Peter got up for prayer. He did it every day. He had a cord on his dresser. And was on his way to the gate, beautiful, he would see a man with a cup. He saw the man was crippled and would throw a quarter into the cup and walk on. But God touched his heart one morning and made him forget his quarter. God forced the New Testament church out of the sympathy business into the miracle business. Remember, miracles begin by profound awareness of what you have got. Peter is standing there reaching down in his pocket. He feels he doesn't hit the quarter and says himself, I do not have a quarter. What am I going to do now? I've given this man money many times. What's he going to do now? How is he going to eat? And he says to the man, silver and gold have I none. God finished the sentence. What I have I give unto thee in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Rise up and walk. God set Peter up. He helped the man connect the Messiah. This is our job, to help people connect to Yeshua. Our preaching and teaching and singing can't be that quarter. We have to stop asking people, where is Jesus? And start telling people, there is Jesus. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves you today. What is your need? Tell him. Surrender to him. Lord, we release everything to you today. Yeshua, you are here. Today, whatever your need is, physical need, Yeshua is here to heal you. I'm not the healer, he is. But he wants to touch you, he wants to do miracles, he wants to deliver you, he wants to set you free. Today is your day. So I ask you, if you have any physical need to come up, and I will pray for you, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's here in our midst right now. If you have a need, come on up. God will touch you. Whatever your need is, he will heal you. By his stripes, I am healed.